Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Paul Jarasha reach. Now, Richard Corrigan started cooking at the age of 15 and he still has the same chef's knife from when it all began. He's been Michelin starred, cooked for the Queen of England, the Obamas, 3 times winner of Best British Menu. For an Irishman, that's pretty cool. Partial to champagne and oysters, his mantra is keep it simple. And he joins us this morning from London, where he runs the Corrigan Collection, but he's coming home to Ireland soon, bringing Christmas to Cavan with a very special announcement. Lots to chat about. Richard Corrigan, good morning.
Good morning, Oliver. Listening to you this morning about London, no wonder I'm coming home.
You keep an eye on politics, don't you?
I love politics, I'll be honest with you. I love it. Ireland has, there's no left or right. I mean, everyone has a very much centre ground. There's a lot of empathy in Ireland. That empathy can be missing in the UK.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, some of the headlines are brutal. And just to have such different views on the one thing is extraordinary. Come here. I want to get a handle on all your activities. How many restaurants and eateries do you have on the go in the Corrigan Collection at the moment?
We have 4 in London. We have Daffodil Mulligan's, named after a Lancome song. That's over in Old Street. Yeah. And very much very popular. And it's kind of a new theme in an Irish pub. And then I have, coming into the town, I have National Portrait Gallery, the restaurant on the roof, which is Corrigan at the Portrait. And then we have Bentley's last 22 years, which is a historic oyster bar and seafood restaurant.
Incredible.
In Piccadilly. And then we have Corrigan's Mayfair, which has been going 17 years. And that's on Upper Grosvenor Street, just off Park Lane, Berkeley Square, where, you know what I mean, the sound of all those fast cars going by, as you can imagine, you know. Nice part of town. Honestly, it's not, from a guy from the bog, I'll be honest with you, it's a nice part of town, you know.
And all of the children are involved in the businesses in some way or other.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Richie is the MD of the company, my son. And then we have Jessica. She looks after all the marketing and socials, all of that. She's her own company called Crab Communications. And then it's Robbie, the youngest. I asked to come back there last year to help out when I got a little bit ill. And he came back from LA. So he's an amazing family. And all went to school in Ireland. So they have that Irish kind of London spirit, Irish soul, you know.
They all went to boarding school in Ireland. Is that right? In different places?
Well, it was the only option because, you know, every 3 weeks you'd come home and pick them up and bring them home. They'd be to be off for 4 days. And I was quite determined that my kids had a real Irish soul in them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Really, you can get lost as an immigrant. Your children can get lost to the next generation can get lost into the big crowd.
But you managed to juggle everything as parents because, you know, it's very difficult to run a restaurant, but to keep it going for that length of time and keep the success going, it requires massive work.
Absolutely. The decades have passed fast and furiously quick. You know, my wife has been in, you know, Maria worked as a, you know, she's been a nurse, you know, her life now, a therapist, worked in the NHS. You know, we kept it. We come from humble beginnings and we've kept it kind of, no matter what success brings, you can get lost in the razzmatazz a little bit. I've always kept it very just, I'm in there with everyone else every day and we're in it together and pay our bills and keep going. You know, I'm a very pragmatic kind of a guy like that, you know.
The restaurants in London can also tell us what's happening in the economy, because I was reading that about 20 or 11 years ago you had noticed the hedge fund guys not drinking as much wine in the restaurants. What about now in London? What are you spotting?
The hedge fund guys are gone.
Really?
I mean, the equity guys are gone. I mean, it's a really good barometer. But, you know, a city like London, believe it or not, you know, we shouldn't get too pessimistic because it recreates itself every couple of decades.
Right.
It's forever turning up something. The city of London is washing over it one few decades. Then it's tech and then it's something else and then it's something else. It's an incredible place full of people trying to reinvent themselves, coming up with entrepreneurial. So, you know, we're amongst that. And, you know, it's still a very exciting city. I mean, and the politics and the budgets. But let's be honest with you, a balancing, and you're talking from me who should be really people, you know, complain about things. But, you know, there has to be a balancing in society of taxation. generation against kind of super wealth as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone is so probably selfish. No one wants to give anything towards the NHS. They just think it should be free forever. You know what I mean? I mean, let's be honest with you. Where my operation was last year, it's called the Royal Free Hospital. And it was the first free hospital in the UK in the 1800s, you know. So you have to understand people paid for their care and a lot of people died very young. So, you know, the whole idea of universal health, it needs to be paid for. And people are, you know, there's a lot more out there now that people are finding out. So, you know, it needs to be paid for. And taxation is part of that payment plan, I'm afraid. You know?
Because the Germans have an excellent health service and the taxation is very high, but they're very happy to pay it because they get the return.
Yeah, and everyone has to realise in Britain and Ireland, no matter how wealthy you are, you ain't bringing it with you. So spread the goodwill, you know.
The NHS has been very good for you in very recent times.
Absolutely, absolutely. Never been in hospital in my life, really, or seen a doctor. And all of a sudden, bang, you know, the worst case scenario. So, you know what I mean? And I'm coming out of it now, a year later. It's this week, last year, that I went into hospital, I'll be honest with you. Two surgeons, 8 hours. Lucky to have come out of the place, frankly, I'll be honest with you. And, you know, forever bow my head in absolute, you know, humble respect to everyone around me who's helped me get this far.
Remind people, what was the operation for? What were they doing?
The operation was, I went in for a scan, a health scan at 60 kind of thing, you know, first one. And they found a very serious tumour that's been there a long time at a very serious stage that had moved up my main vein, And they thought it got into some organs, but luckily, my God, someone was shining on me. I mean, I am the luckiest person walking, I feel.
Was it on your kidney, Richard?
It was on the kidney, yeah. And that was removed. And it had to be, it wasn't done by, they tried with the robot and then they had to open the whole thing, you know, to go chase the tumour up the main artery and all that. So very serious. Lucky to have come out of the place, but I had the rage of the Beliver man, the rage of getting back on my feet again, you know?
The farm boy came out on you.
I tell you, the surgeon is very funny, I'll be honest with you. And you know, he is very funny. He said, "What is it with farmers and chefs?" I think they must have the case before of just getting out of it. Amazing. I mean, really... Honestly, I seen things inside that hospital that would stand with me for the rest of my life in that beautiful hospital, and the people and the porters and the nursing staff. And, you know, I mean, you do feel like getting out of bed, even if you could walk, and really giving someone a bollocking with the standard of the food, really. I mean, you really do. But the rest of it around you, the rest of the people around you, honestly, God, the NHS, you know, hats off, take off your hat. I mean, I cannot hear anything said about the NHS. I just can't, because it takes taxation to make a great health service. So let's get on with it, you know. Let's get on with it.
And how are you now? Are you clear?
I'm on treatment in Barts Hospital in London. Okay. I'll be there till next March. I'm doing the immunotherapy, and I'm on a trial. I was on a trial drug as well, and it's going good, I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And I feel very fortunate. I feel incredibly fortunate, and I feel incredibly humbled with all of the staff and everyone in the hospitals who's looked after me. I'm back at work kind of 3.5 days a week.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? I mean, you know, it's incredible. Cancer diagnosis is very, very interesting. You never think about it until it happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wrecks your head, and then you go through all the different emotions. Jesus, you know what I mean? I have done. Because you do think it's absolutely, you know, I mean, the word cancer, you know, for both my parents was fatal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, care has came so far in 30 years that, you know, you do feel you can have a second bite of life as well. And I just think, you know, the statistics are shocking. You know, 1 in 2 people will get some form of cancer in their lifetime.
I know.
I mean... it's not just about me. It's about everyone just playing their part as well. And it has focused me on different things about, you know, how much I drink and how, you know, what I eat and stuff like that. Because I had a bit of a farm boy approach to the fat and a bit of bacon. I thought, God, that looks good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Really?
Because you were working it off, you see, in the farm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And you've always been working, haven't you? So this was probably the first time in your life you had to stop.
Honest God, I stopped. I'm only back the last 5 months, four or five months. I'm just back. And there was a time, you know what I mean, where, you know, you're sitting at home and you know, your head goes bloody but wild, you know what I mean? But what it has done, it has kind of focused me on different things as well, you know what I mean, really. We've always been involved in bits of charities and stuff, but it has focused me in just, you know, being much more generous towards the staff and hospitals and stuff like that. So,
You different, the man who came back to work? Are you different from the one who left?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a part of all of your life from the time you left home so young to work in hospitality and travelled around Europe and lived in the Netherlands for years and all of that, came back to London, Camden Road, watched the Pogues. I think, you know, it seems like just a storm and a wind and a hurricane just blown through for 40 years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you wake up and it's all much calmer. Mm-hmm. And it just gives you time to reflect on what is the next part of your life, really. What do you want to do? You know what I mean? Growing things and opening things, you know what I mean? Yes, that's important because I like doing that.
Yeah.
But it's not the biggest thing right now in my life, you know what I mean? Virginia Park Lodge, you know, I bought it in 2013. And everything I've made in London, I put into it. You know, every penny I've made, rebuilt everything, walls, gates, gate lodges, rebuilt the whole estate, planted
real passion,
trees, more
yeah.
planted trees. It's a farm as well. So, you know, we've around 8 people in the gardens there. So, you know what I mean? Really, it's been a labour of love. You know what I mean? Really. And it takes all that, you know, something you look at it and you go, God, it looks nice. But, you know, nice costs a lot of money. I'll be honest with you.
It does.
Keeping nature looking good. And it's like going to the barbers, you know, it needs a haircut and a trim every 10 days. You know what I mean? Or else it looks a bit wild. So, but I really loved it because I think growing things and, you know, we're above organic, but we don't even talk about it. We've around 40 pigs. We have an amazing team there. And, you know, Christmas, we were always closed, you know, believe it or not.
Ah.
And this year, you know what I mean? Listening to you has made me even think this is a good idea to come back to Ireland this Christmas, you know. And
it's really 30 years since you spent Christmas in Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely. Coy. Because we're normally opened up to Christmas Eve in London.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really, and it's a really busy day. So you're not going to head to Heathrow Airport to get in a plane to come home. You know what I mean? You know, it's just, you're just not going to do it.
No.
So this year is the first year, and we're opening up, and it's all online, you know what I mean? We're having around, I think it's around 14 people for dinner. But honestly, if you have a favourite charity out there, I have a free gate lodge, which was never part of the deal. And if you want to auction it to for your little local charity, and maybe homeless in Dublin or something like that, there's a little gate lodge that sleeps 4 people as well, Oliver. So there you go.
Oh,
you know
that's what
I mean?
You're asking people to do. Well, just because this is, I'm kind of surprised at the fact that you're going to be working yourself on Christmas Day to cook for these guests, even though you've been through what you've been through, and you're going to work on the day that you probably should be taking off.
Ah, listen, you know, I think Christmas is, I've always cooked on Christmas Day, and I'm not going to stop this Christmas Day as well. So Owen, one of my lieutenants who's been with me 27 years is going to be with me. You know what I mean? We have a couple of others as well.
Yeah.
And basically we're going to absolutely have a lovely, lovely, lovely day in the Irish countryside, you know.
And you'll have your family.
Overlooking Loch Ramor, and the family, of course, is coming.
Good.
And we're all around and we can all sit down later on in the day and have a lovely time.
So this is kind of an exclusive high-end way for people to do. There's only 14 tickets being sold.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they'll stay in the main building of Virginia Park
Lodge. In
the main
building, yeah, absolutely. And it's a beautiful old hunting lodge. It really is. And it's 14 is a lovely number, believe it or not. It sits on the main table in the main room.
Yeah.
And, you know, you come in early on Christmas Eve and you leave on St. Stephen's Day after lunch. So, you know what I mean? It's a nice. We have some music. We have some carols.
Wow.
And, yeah, Virginia has an amazing, amazing carol singer. So, I mean, absolutely fantastic. I mean, musically, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. You have the theatre there as well. And a wonderful
the
community.
Theatre, yeah.
The Ramor Theatre, yeah.
So people arrive on Christmas Eve, they spend 2 nights there. And,
absolutely.
Big dinners.
Oh, big dinners and big lunches, you know what I mean? It is the type of year you put your feet up, really.
And virginiaparklodge.com for those. It's only 14 tickets. That'll go in no time. And you're saying are you saying that's an extra bit then? Sorry, the lodge bit that
there's
you're offering for charity?
Extra. Yeah, there's a little bit. I want you to, whatever homeless charity in Dublin, basically, I have a gate lodge if you want to put it up there. It sleeps 4 people. It sleeps for people. And maybe, you know what I mean, any charity that you find very much close to your heart, it's yours to do whatever you want with
so
it.
So people can donate to spend the Christmas there. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely.
But look, our team will definitely look into that. Yes, producer is
absolutely
nodding. Yes, we'll absolutely do that. Are you looking forward to working at Christmas?
I am indeed. I am. I love it. But I think when you're surrounded by such beautiful, you know, we've all the polytunnels there. We have lots of things growing as well, even though most gardens are quite empty this time of the year. And, you know, it's just a lovely time. And Christmas in Ireland is I know it's special because I had many, many, many special Christmases in Ireland as a youngster. So I just love it. Ireland takes Christmas, you know what I mean, a little bit more to heart, I think, than anywhere else that I know.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. You have a recipe for cooking gammon because you're telling people to keep it simple. Don't get too stressed at Christmas dinner. You can have a chicken or a gammon.
Listen, the price of a turkey in London right now, a 5 kilo bronze turkey is 100 quid.
Wow. 5 kilos.
I mean, it's 5 kilo bronze turkey. You know what I mean? That'd feed a kind of a large family. Say five people. Mm-hmm. So you know what I mean? If you don't want a whole turkey, just ask your butcher, bloody, can you have a turkey breast and a turkey leg?
Yeah.
And ask him to stuff the leg. You know what I mean? And just roast the breast. You know, some melted butter, some lemon rind, just a bit of thyme. Just roast it slowly, absolutely like a chicken. But the ham recipe, I think the gammon recipe is really, really beautiful and simple. I mean, most people wash off their gammons really well, and rightly so, to get rid of all that excess salt.
Yeah.
But really, I think when they go wrong, they put it into a big pot of water, and then all the flavour goes into the water, and you end up with this kind of salty stock connection, and the ham tasting like of cardboard. So the key is just some chopped vegetables, celery, carrot, onion, thyme, garlic. Put your ham sitting on it, a bottle of not the most expensive white wine in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And then you absolutely seal it with a double layer on the pot of a double layer of tin foil. Put a lid on it, tie it with a bit of string, put it in the oven for around 2 hours. 2 hours. Leave it, don't open it until it cools down. And you have the most perfect ham where the ham just tastes as it should, you know? And you know those recipes you see in Ireland, you know, calf and ham. This is a real calf and ham, you know?
Don't lose any flavour. Seal it all in. And would it not be too salty if you haven't got any of the salt out?
Remember, you wash it, you soak it, you soak it overnight.
You've done it anyway, yeah.
You've done it, but you know what I mean. You've done it overnight. But it ends up the most perfect ham. And cranberry sauce, stop buying that nonsense in jars. It's absolutely poisoned with sugar. Fresh cranberries, dash of orange juice, a dash of port. Let it sweat down. It just melts away.
Yeah.
And then if you feel like adding sugar to it, at the end, add a little bit of brown sugar. And then the most important thing is grated fresh horseradish into it.
Wow.
And you will end up with the best cranberry sauce in the world.
I love the smell of that in the kitchen, that's for sure. An absolute pleasure.
That's a nice smell.
Thanks a million for the tips and good luck. VirginiaParkLodge.com for that very exclusive 14 tickets only at Richard Corrigan's place. And enjoy the winter festivities. Good to hear you in good spirits, Richard.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Oliver, thank you.
Email oliver@rte.ie.